The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
There's bad, then there's bull.
Right. Less than eh. Worse than eh. Dr. Dave, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Dr. Dave.
Good morning, guys. Joe Cocker, a little help for my friend.
That'd be another
that was
good
a remake?
Melancholy.
Yeah. Oh. That's, are you, what are you, are
whoa,
you
whoa,
serious?
Whoa.
Yeah, so Joe Cocker, Little Help from My Friend. Yeah. What's the original?
Okay, which is a great song.
What is
and
it?
And who remakes it?
Joe Cocker remade it.
Who sang
Dude,
the original
Joe Cocker
song?
The Beatles.
That was, that's that
Have
song.
Have you heard of them?
Now, live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Studios at Radio City with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Yep, the Brewer season ends last night. Definitely disappointing. A bunch of words that you could come up with. In fact, our loyal listeners have come up with a lot of them to describe the 2021 season for your Milwaukee Brewers. I think expectations were high. We talked about how Corbin Burns was on the show in April and said World Series aspirations with this squad. And Chewy at the time was like, yeah, what else is he going to say? He's got to say that, right? But then the season starts to unfold. It starts to roll out. And you start to see certainly a pitching staff that can hang. And you saw pops in the offense and you thought, well, maybe. And they're winning series and they're atop the division and they remain atop the division. And the Cardinals are threatening and they're putting together a historic run to end the season and they can't even catch the Brewers. That's how far in advance they are. That's how far down the road they are. And you're thinking, maybe Corbin Burns was right. Maybe this is a World Series team. Because the offense just didn't show up.
It has parallels to the Packers, now that I'm free to talk football. You know?
now that we've broken the football season.
Because you unscrewed the lid?
Well, I mean, it's going to go bad otherwise. It's got an expiration date. So now that it's open, we might as well eat it.
The parallel is
exactly.
The Brewers pitching is the Packers offense.
Yep.
They're hitting is the Packers defense.
Yep.
Are we going to be saying the same thing at the end of the day going, they're too top-heavy? With their offense.
But the defense has been coming on.
They haven't played. Did you hear?
Are we actually talking Packers now?
Did
no,
you
not,
hear?
No. And you know
are
what? It's very good of you to
did
check
you
because you and I were on
hear?
Such different pages earlier in the week. So I appreciate that you go, you know what? I'm going to be proactive here. I'm going to be proactive, Jen. What specifically are we talking about
I just didn't
here?
Know if you got sucked into the football
did
web
you
and the metaphor
hear
ended.
Yesterday, the offenses they have faced, 28, 32, 24, 25, 15.
Yeah.
Can't say they're good.
15 is pretty
you know?
Good offense, huh?
Yeah. No, we don't know. We got to wait. You know, that's like the Brewers playing all division games this year. When the Cardinals suck.
Ooh, that's a very interesting point because I do remember, speaking of April, when we talked to Corbin Burns before the season, that we did discuss that Ringer article, guys, that said that the NL Central was going to be by far the worst division in all of baseball. And is there something about, you know, Tim brought up on our ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line that I was talking about the Packers being fool's goldie earlier this week. And he says, could you also put that distinction on the Brewers? Were they fool's goldie? Because they played in the worst division, or at least one of the bad divisions in Major League Baseball. So you got a little overconfident because they're out there playing the Pirates and they're out there playing the Cubs. You know, I mean, is that something to this? They just kind of stacked their resume?
I don't know. You know? Gabe, you're not feeling it?
I'm not. I mean, because the National League East was just as bad as the Central. The Braves came out of it, and the Braves, you know, the Braves only won 88 games in that terrible division that featured the Marlins and Nationals, and they beat the Brewers yesterday. It's tough. It's just so hard, and I think in football this happens as well, because it's in football, there are random things that can happen in one football game that can burn you in a playoff game, right? Like just a random fumble that typically mm-hmm. doesn't happen, and next thing you know, that just flips everything, and now, you know, that's happened to the Packers in playoff games in the past. In baseball, you know, over the course of a five-game series, they only played, you know, they played four games.
But if you're a good team, it doesn't matter. Because I go back to the Carolina game where Brett threw a pick first quarter of the game, they score, and we're like, eh, we'll overcome it. We're not worried
if you're
about
if you're
it.
A dominant team, it doesn't matter. Because the Rays, without a doubt, to me, were the best team in the American League. Without a doubt. They caught a bad break in the Red Sox game in Game 3 where the ball bounced off the guy's hip and goes over the wall, you know?
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, you lose the game in the bottom of the 13th. It just baseball, dumb things can happen throughout the course of the season, and it's tough to like, it's tough to then take these past four games and assign all these characteristics to the things that happened in the previous 162.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to be that group. I don't want to be those people who say that, like, some of these decisions are an indictment on Craig Counsell, or, you know what I mean? Because Craig Counsell has proven to be a good manager.
Yes,
he's proven it over and over and over and over again. I'm not going to sit here and take that, like, catnip and be like, oh, maybe he's bad at his job. Maybe. No, that's ridiculous. Okay? But the offense didn't show up. So do we blame the hitting coach for that? Like, again, no. I still don't know who's to blame for the Brewers' early exit. Because I do think that they could have gone. I don't know that they hang with whoever they end up playing in the next round. I don't know. But it's still, again, I go back to this, guys. As much as you sit here and go, the offense stunk and the offense didn't show up when it needed to, yesterday's game, it showed up. They lost by one run on a dramatic home run by their best player, a guy who is kind of becoming one of the faces of the league in Freddie Freeman, off of Josh Hader, who's one of the best closers in the league. Like, you kind of throw your shoulders up and go, well, bleep happens.
Yeah, but the offense going scoreless for the previous two games, that's what, because you can recover if that happens in one game and all of a sudden you're up 2-1 and now it's 2-2, you're coming back to Milwaukee. But because you had lost the previous two games after winning game one because your offense scored precisely zero runs in 18 innings,
But do you look at the way Tampa Bay does it? Tampa Bay's payroll is $20 million less than the Brewers this year.
Mm-hmm.
Tampa Bay's a better team
than
Milwaukee.
Yeah, Tampa Bay's one of the best teams in baseball.
Swallow your pride, see how they do it, because the markets are pretty similar, right? Both small market teams.
I think the Brewers are trying to do it the same way. The difference is, like, you got to hit on some of these draft picks. You got to hit on some of, like, hit rate that the Tampa Bay Rays have is unprecedented.
Yeah.
You know, that's like, you know what, Derek Carr, you're pretty decent, but go study Aaron Rodgers and do all the things that Aaron Rodgers does. Like, you can't. You know, some of the things you just can't do. Like, what the Rays have done is unprecedented. I cannot fathom all of the hits that they have in terms of all these prospects. Again, they're starting three guys for the Rays. Their top three starters were all rookies.
No, I know.
Like, that's outrageous.
Yeah, it is.
800-990-3776. 800-990-3776. That's our ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line. You guys have been texting in all morning long, giving us the one word to describe the season. Pedro in Ocala saying cluster F word.
EFF?
Not a lot. Yeah, EFF. Cluster exactly. F. EFF. To answer Chewy's question about the farm system, they are bottom heavy. Lots of talent and potential at the lower levels, but not much at AAA and not much for corner infielders, which of course is a major need for this team. That from Unnamed in the 608. Lots of folks weighing in with the one word to describe. I think we have some on Twitter as well. But before we get to that, Ashton, what do you want to tell us?
We've been saying Corbin Burns has said something about the World Series all day. So here I am scouring all of our archives to see what he said, because we have to play this. We can't keep saying he said this, blah, blah, blah. Corbin Burns joined our show in the first week of spring training, never said a single word about the World Series. However, Brent Suter mentioned the two words World Series.
You know, win the division, be in the playoffs, and win the World Series.
And there we go. There is the special clip we've been talking about all day.
Brent Suter was the guy that we had on our airwaves who said World Series.
That was from March 30th. And now, when I was looking back, the other reason I wanted to bring this up, March 30th, even if you say, Chewy, what else are you supposed to say? Sure, fair. But do you think on March 30th to October 3rd, when the regular season ended, they still assumed, hey, we can still win the World Series? Like, does that mindset seriously stay that whole time?
Let's see. I go back to 93 when we first made the playoffs. No, we weren't that delusional. We were just trying to win a playoff game, which we did.
Yep.
We beat Detroit, but we knew we were not good enough. I don't even know if we thought we were good enough in 95 when we beat San Francisco.
I don't understand.
And had to go to
Dallas.
But
time out. This depends entirely every single year on what the rest of the field does. Like, that's the crazy thing about sports is, like, we're talking about the Packers right now, right? And I keep saying, they're a good team. It feels a little smoke and mirrors to me right now. But if the rest of the league is not great, they could be the best team at the end of the year. Same thing for the Brewers. If you look around and go, talent, 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 and everybody performs, or heck yeah, heck, maybe not everybody performs. Maybe 3/4 of us perform and the other people have a bad year, but we could do the World Series. I think, again, it just depends entirely on what the rest of the field puts together.
Well, the main reason I bring it up, though, is because at what point, and Chewy, you mentioned you can't compare the two comparisons, Packers and Brewers. At what point, as Brewers fans, can they start doing that? I keep hearing this is the golden age of Brewers baseball. Really? Because they've made it to one NLCS and they lost.
Yeah, but they've made... That tells you the history of this Brewers team.
But they're a perennial playoff team.
When does the bar keep get risen, I guess, is my question.
They've made 4 consecutive postseason appearances, and they made, I believe, 4 postseason appearances in the history of the franchise prior to that. So this is the golden era of Brewers.
But I also think this is when you can make the comparison to the Milwaukee Bucks as well, right, guys? Like, we knew that having a guy like Giannis, you could do some special things, but they were going to need to put pieces around him. They were going to need to bolster the roster. They were going to need to change some of their philosophies. And so they take a step 1 year, and then they take another step the next year, and then they take another step, although you could argue that getting bounced by the Heat in the bubble was not taking a step forward, but it was the bubble, so that's the asterisk on that season, and then they win the whole dang thing. Like, this Brewers team does feel like it's moving towards, I don't know if it's always going to be so linear as this year you win the wild card, the following year you win the division series, the next year you win the championship series. I don't know if it's always going to be that linear, but as long as you're there, as long as you're in the mix, as long as you're a playoff team, you could win the whole thing. Because Gabe keeps mentioning it, baseball is dumb. Baseball is dumb. And a bounce here and a fluky play there, and all of a sudden you're losing 5-4 and you're going, well, we're out.
But you got to be lucky for the Brewers to win. You got to have luck on your side in order for them to win it all. Because I can tell you this, in 03, in 93, there was no chance in hell we were winning the Super Bowl, right? Now, you're not going to say that.
Yeah.
Right? You're not going to say it, but deep down as a player, you know. Baseball is an unfair game. It's not fair when the Dodgers can spend $230 million in a year and the Brewers spend 90. It's not fair. It's not fair. Wouldn't you like to have an extra $130 million this offseason to go get free agents?
It'd be nice.
It'd make it a lot easier, right?
Yeah, slightly.
It's just not fair.
Why don't you ask Angie if she'd put up some money to help the Brewers go out and get some free agents?
Because I would say, live?
But I would say, why don't you put up some money? But I know you don't have
I mean,
you're not in charge of your bank account.
I would, but I'm getting a phone call 30 seconds later. You spent what on what?
Well, honey, the Brewers needed a bat.
Yeah.
Ever does she ever say, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Goodbye.
He says goodbye, all right.
It's usually followed by EFF.
Exactly. EFFU is actually how it goes. You guys should consider Professional Construction Inc. in Waukesha for all of your construction needs. Whether it's a remodeling project, a home addition, or you are building a new home, you know that the PCI team is the team that we rely on for all of those things. I know I've told you about the woodpecker that was putting holes in the trim. I know I've told you about our basement that we're trying to refinish, and how Mike and Michelle from PCI came into our house, looked around, and saw things we could have never seen. Gave us ideas we would have never had. That's how great Mike and Michelle and the PCI team are, and they can do the same for you. They have experienced carpenters who lead the field, and if you're interested in joining their team, you can apply online at professionalconstructioninc.com/careers. But if you're interested in a remodeling project, a home addition, or building a new home, why don't you take a spin over on their website? It is professionalconstructioninc.com. There you can see examples of all of the things that the PCI team has done. And that's not all. If you've got a vision, they're willing to execute it. Go see my friends over at PCI, professionalconstructioninc.com, professionalconstructioninc.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's quite intimidating. The picture I wanted to use of Chewy was so good.
He looks like such a doofus.
He is a doofus. He looks like he is a doofus.
I think he has gotten better looking with age. Like, he's a good looking dude now. Not that he's, you know, unattractive in this picture. He just kind of looks like a doofus.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Call me friend, but keep me closer.
We will continue talking about your Milwaukee Brewers as the season ends last night. 5-4 to the Atlanta Braves. They are moving on. The Brewers are headed home. If you're on the fence about whether or not to refinance your home mortgage or not, you shouldn't be. Because if you talk to my friends over at Great Midwest Bank, they will make it easy for you. They'll go over all the numbers to determine if a refi can get you a better rate and terms to lower your monthly payment. Wouldn't you like a little extra cash in your bank account? Great Midwest Bank is the way to go. Get started at greatmidwestbank.com, greatmidwestbank.com.
We've all got stuff that we can't keep inside anymore.
Trash! Trash! Not for you!
Stuff that we need to talk about.
How could you not realize? You're stupid. You are a stupid, stupid man.
Stuff that once a week just needs to be put outside.
Now that's clearly garbage.
Hey, man, we just get warmed up.
It's time to take out the trash. Brought to you by LRS, Milwaukee and Southern Wisconsin's leader in home, business, and dumpster waste and recycling services. Call the LRS experts at 844-WI-TRASH today.
Okay, I will start it off. Very easy to call John Gruden trash, which he is. And I've been saying it for years and years and years. This is going back to when I did the Sunday show with Craig. I knew he was trash. Now everyone is coming out like Keyshawn saying the guy was a fraud, which I knew all along for whatever reasons. But the NFL does an investigation of the Washington football team regarding workplace misconduct and have gone through over 650,000 emails. And the biggest pin to fall is John Gruden, who's not even affiliated with the team. I mean, come on, what are we doing here? Right?
Something seems amiss,
Drew. I mean, something seems afoot. I don't know whether they're protecting Daniel Snyder. I don't know whether they're protecting the Shield or whatever it is. But like you said, something is not right here. Hopefully they dig deeper and there is more dominoes to fall. Maybe not as big as John Gruden, but there has to be something there. Let us know, please, so we can start trending in the right direction. Now, we're never going to get rid of racism. Ever. You're never. But you can certainly shrink the thing, right? And they're heading in the right direction. Let's not bury this thing. There's got to be something there. There is a bunch of complaints from people who worked in the building.
Let me ask you this, guys. If I sit here and I make jokes that make you guys uncomfortable, okay? At some point...
Why are you describing the show?
At some point, you're going to say to me, you're not going to say it, but you're going to not laugh. Or you're going to, I'm going to get the message is the point. I'm going to realize that you guys aren't in on the joke with me and maybe I should, you know, cut it back. Somebody was clearly laughing along with those jokes, at those jokes, with Gruden. So who are the other participants? Who are the other willing participants who were laughing along with those jokes? Because you don't make repeated misogynistic, racist, and homophobic jokes unless you think the people on the other side are laughing along with you. Because the first time they don't laugh, you check yourself. You go, oh, maybe it's the wrong audience. Maybe I should talk to some other people, right? Like, but he didn't. So that's what makes me go, hey, this isn't a vacuum. He wasn't just throwing jokes out like an open mic night. Somebody was playing along.
And I don't know if you knew, because I mentioned it on the show yesterday, but Bruce Allen was my first agent, right? I'm not a big Bruce Allen fan. I'll just leave it at that. I'm not taking anyone out.
What you're saying
from
is
the cheap seats, but
Bruce Allen is no longer representing you. Hasn't for a while.
For a while. I think it was a year until I figured that out. Now, I'm not saying whether he's guilty or whatever. I'm just saying
we
tread
don't exchange
lightly.
Christmas cards anymore.
Yes. Gabe?
Speaking of Christmas, we trying to ruin Christmas? It's October. Trying to ruin Christmas already. You guys familiar with Home Sweet Home Alone? This reimagining of the Home Alone franchise that Disney Plus is doing? I was blissfully unaware of this until yesterday. Just minding my own business, trying to scroll my timeline, try to see who's going to be the starting pitcher for the Milwaukee Brewers yesterday before the game, and boom! Hits me across the face. A trailer for this new Disney Plus movie, Home Sweet Home Alone, where a 10-year-old Max Mercer, is accidentally left behind while his family travels to Tokyo for the holidays. Now, first of all, redoing this movie in the age of technology that we're currently in, this is going to be pulling a rabbit out of a hat. I am curious how you are going to pull this off. Second of all, why are we remaking Home Alone? Why can't we just leave Home Alone and Macaulay Culkin and leave that classic for the nostalgia and let me watch it? Don't reimagine it with Ellie Kemper and Rob Delaney, who are apparently the married couple that are robbers. No, do not look intrigued. Do not look intrigued, Ashton. Look.
See, I disagree. I think if you can make something better, you're going to tell me ice cream tastes better in 1978 than it does today?
It might have. I don't
know. They made it better.
But who's to say it's going to be better?
You know what? I bet it was better in 78. I bet they had more sugar in it.
Home Alone is so good.
How are you making it better?
Yeah, but I'm waiting for a Ferris Bueller. Let's bring Ferris Bueller.
No. Yes. All right.
Give me a modern day Ferris Bueller.
Gabe. Yeah. 100% with Gabe.
You can't do Ferris Bueller in 2021 because all you got to do is go to find my phone on your kid's phone. Boop. That SOB is going down Michigan Avenue on a float.
Here's the thing. All right, Gabe, I'm going to jump onto your back here for the trash, because I'm going to do a mini one here.
And drown him? Are you drowning him?
We're not in the water yet. We're in the trash compactor. Well, sorry. You're going to go in the trash compactor.
Apparently
either way
we're
dead.
Dying either way.
Why do we keep doing prequels and sequels? Who is asking for this? I watched The Sopranos prequel 2 weeks ago. Underwhelming. So terrible. Wasting my time. Better than the show. Show sucked anyways, but that's not the point here. Why are we doing this? Who's asking for prequels and sequels? Get creative. You're in Hollywood. You're in New York. You're in the agency. You're in the business. Blah, 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 blah. Be better at your jobs. Get more creative, please. I'm so sick of this.
We have no one to blame but ourselves and our nostalgia.
I'm excited.
That is a very good point. Nostalgia is a powerful force, but I also think it's that they invest so much money in these projects, guys, they can't afford for them to bust. So at least they know there's an audience that liked the original and they can tap into the nostalgia. It's almost like a guarantee of, hey, we know that some people will like this because it's worked before. Right? And speaking of movies, guys, there is a video that has gone viral. I'm sure many of you have seen it, of a man trying to play Lion King. Okay? He's trying to play Lion King. You remember Lion King? The movie that gave us the very famous song Hakuna Matata. Hakuna Matata, what a wonderful phrase. Hakuna Matata. Gabe, you know this one. Ain't no passing craze.
I've never seen the movie. I've never seen it.
Timon and Pumbaa from The Lion King are singing Hakuna Matata. And I blame Disney for this because this man encounters a wild warthog while on vacation. And he's filming it with his phone. And he's watching it as it trots up towards him with its tusks hanging out. And he says, I want to pet it. What?
Yeah, guess how that ended.
I want to pet the warthog? Are you kidding me right now?
Wild animals want to kill you.
And again, the only reason that a human being would think that a warthog is cute and cuddly and pettable, Hakuna Matata. It's the Lion King's fault.
So
it's
the guy
Disney's
get bit?
Disney's fault. Okay, Jen. It is Disney's fault that this guy tried to pet a warthog.
Jen, it's one thing if I try to take out Disney Plus. Like, Mickey Mouse signs your check.
I don't care.
It's a big check.
You should care a little
bit. I mean, from my understanding, it's a pretty big check that Mickey is signing for you. I think you want those checks to keep coming
in. What are we going to do next? We're going to go pet lions because, you know, Simba? Are we going to go make out with what wildebeest looking creatures because, you know, Beauty and the Beast? You can't pet wild animals. And warthogs are vicious. You always talk about hippos being the killing machines.
Oh, no, they're murder machines.
I think it goes hippo on the murder machine power ranking.
Yeah.
Warthog.
I mean, there's a big gap there.
They taste good, though.
You've never eaten a warthog.
I bet he has.
I bet you've hunted hogs.
Wild boar. Have you ever had wild boar?
No.
I had a buddy. I got some weird buddies. Jumped out of a tree and slit its neck. That's how he hunted it. I'm like,
what was this, Hunger Games?
That guy
is now on top of the power rankings, by the way.
Yes. He did. He literally jumped out of a tree. Yes.
Hippos. Gap.
I ain't jumping on a tree and killing a hippo.
So this is your public service announcement, guys.
Have you ever had it, though? It is delicious.
Hippo?
Okay, no, wait. I'm still... Your buddy jumped out of a tree and slit a blindfold.
Yeah, but this guy on the internet, Chewy, he didn't say, I want to eat it. He said, I want to pet it.
And what happened to him?
Oh, the warthog won.
Good.
He bull rushed him or
the guy
wildebeest rushed him
for
help.
Almost immediately.
Did he really?
Almost immediately.
He warthog rushed him. The guy climbed a tree and he's like, literally, he's like, help. So again, Disney, you keep putting out these movies about animals in the wild being friendly and frolicking and singing. And this is what happens. People want to pet wild warthogs. Disney.
Bad idea.
That's a bad idea for Jen to take out her parent company. That's for sure.
How about our next bet?
I mean, Jen's been traveling a lot. I guess, you know, it's going to be a lot easier for her, you know, to be doing this show when she's not traveling anymore when Disney fires her.
What do you want the next bet to be, Chew?
You got to pet a warthog.
But we're going to find one.
No.
Oh, I'll get one.
Your buddy? He's got a line on a warthog, does he?
You ever see Mrs. Doubtfire?
Yes.
Remember the farms on the move? Don't you remember that? The mobile petting zoo?
That the mom comes home to after work and having the party?
Buy one window, get one free. You've heard me talk about this with our friends over at Window Select. Buy one window, get one free, plus no payments for an entire year. That is a really good deal. You just got to go to windowselect.com to do that. But that's not all, because Window Select, last month, they were giving away Packers tickets, and they want to keep that local Wisconsin love alive this month. So if you have them out to your house this month for a free home estimate, that's right, just have to call them, 262-703-3500. Go to windowselect.com, set up that free home estimate, have them come out, take a look. You don't have to buy anything, and you get a $100 Packers Pro Shop card. That's right, free home estimate comes with a $100 Packers Pro Shop card. That's on top of buying one window, getting one free with no limit. That's on top of no payments for a year. That's on top of their double lifetime warranty, because they believe in their products so much that they put that double lifetime warranty on them. And why wouldn't they believe in their product? They're A+ energy efficiency rated products, and they give you that expert installation with a dedicated local service apartment. So call them today, 262-703-3500. Set up a free home estimate to get the $100 Packers Pro Shop card, or visit their website at windowselect.com. Make sure you tell them that you heard it from me, Gabe, right here on ESPN Milwaukee.
She's our ace, our cleanup hitter, and our source for all things crew. She's Brewers reporter Sophia Minert.
I'm saying I don't like browse the grocery store. I'm like an online pickup and online delivery girl. So I'm saying I'm not like perusing the grocery store aisles. Maybe I should do more of that now.
When is the last time?
I'm missing on an entire line of products.
Sophia Minert on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is brought to you by Ewald Automotive. Shop the Ewald Automotive Group, home of the 20-year, 200,000-mile limited warranty on all new vehicles. Visit any of their 8 locations today, in store or online at ewaldautomotive.com. Ewald Automotive, we make it easy.
Well, it did not end the way that we wanted it to. The Brewers season ends last night. They lose 5-4 to the Atlanta Braves. And Sophia Minert joining us now from Bally Sports Wisconsin one last time this season to bring it all together. Kind of wrap it all up for us. Sophia, we've been asking our listeners all morning long, what's the one word you would use to describe this season? And we've gotten a lot of negatives, obviously underperformed, fraudulent. Somebody said fun. It was a fun season. But a lot of people just kind of saying disappointed, so close, apropos, hitless, clueless. One guy just called in and sighed. It was weird. What's your one word?
Man, we felt it, though. Felt his pain.
Look, I think right now in the moment you feel disappointment. And I understand why fans feel that way. I think, you know, that's absolutely true for how this season ended. When you look at the season whole, I think overall you have to say it was memorable. I think you heard that from Craig Counsell. You heard it from the players last night. It's hard to separate how it ends from how the season went. That's just the reality of it, because I think baseball, more than any other sport, the ending is just, it's really abrupt and it's really harsh. And, you know, you're with these people every day from middle of February to now. And they were not satisfied, you know, with how the series went, and the fact that their season is over now. And this was a team that had really you know, realistic expectations and goals of making it to the CS and a World Series. And that didn't happen. So I think that's where, you know, they're feeling all the same things that the fans are feeling.
Sophia, is this team top heavy? And what I mean is the pitching staff is one of the best in all of baseball, mm-hmm. but their lineup is not. Do they have to bring the two closer together, maybe detract a little bit from the pitching and get some hitters?
That's a good question to say if it's top heavy. I think I would actually say this is, they felt, you know, this was probably the deepest, most talented, most balanced team that they had. And I think, you know, this was a very different looking team offensively than what they started the year with. The additions that they made with Willy Adames, Eduardo Escobar, Rowdy Tellez, you know, and just they didn't get production from the players that they were counting on. So I think that just changed kind of what the offensive production looked like. But I think what you're optimistic about is the pitching staff. Like you said, you know, these are all young, up and coming. I mean, they've established themselves as all-stars now, right? Like, you hope that with health, they can continue to be consistent. They can continue to get better. Josh Hader, same thing. Devin Williams, when he recovers from his surgery. The pieces are all there, and I think that's why they're optimistic that they have a good window to contend. But there's going to be questions to answer offensively, no doubt. And it's going to be a different-looking team next year. You know, Avi Garcia is likely going to be a free agent. So we'll see what happens there. That's obviously a big run producer to have to replace.
Sophia, does the future of the offense really depend on Christian Yelich kind of refinding his offensive game?
Yeah, but I think it's not fair to put all of that on one person. I mean, Christian is more disappointed than anybody with how he performed this year.
Watching him after the game last night, like I felt for him. Like, you could see like the disappointment in the team, in himself, in him, in the videos that I saw of him talking after the game last night.
I totally agree with you, Gabe. And honestly, those are my least favorite interviews to do. And I give him a lot of credit for coming out, honestly. He didn't have to do that, but he takes the responsibility of who he is and what he means to this organization very seriously. He carries a huge responsibility. I think he wears that really well. And nobody is more disappointed than him with how this season went. And, you know, you can point to how the postseason went for him. You can point to how the regular season went for him. You can point to just the image of, you know, the last called strike, right, that ends the season with him at the plate and a runner on. Like, you can point to all of those things. And he said in his interview, he knows he has to be better. He feels like he let people down. And to me, like, that's shows accountability, right? And I think he's going to be really motivated this off season. And I hope, you know, when he'll come back next year with, like, he's able to put it aside and come back with a new mindset. And we'll get back to the production that we've seen from Christian, because I think, you know, that player is still there.
Sophia Minnert joining Jen, Gabe, and Chewy for her last Brewers appearance as the season ended last night with the Brewers loss 5-4 to the Atlanta Braves. Sophia, there's a lot of second guessing that goes on, obviously, when a team is bounced, especially a team that had all of the success that the Brewers had during the regular season. You know, I've heard Brandon Woodruff should have gone in as the first guy off out of the bullpen. Obviously, the talk about Corbin Burns, should he have been trotted out there? I've got people on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line saying that Ryan Braun would have been hugely beneficial in this type of situation because he's a clutch bat. Is any of it warranted? Is there any, you know, can you warrant any of the second guessing?
Look, hindsight's always 20/20, right? I mean, this is part of baseball, and this is part of managing an elimination game, is you can make good decisions and have bad outcomes. Like, that's just a reality that everyone has to live with, right? And, you know, I don't think, you know, obviously that's a game where you miss Devin Williams, quite frankly. They asked guys to do things that some of them hadn't done before. You know, I think Brandon Woodruff coming back on 2 days rest, you know, Craig Counsell said, you know, that was heroic what he did. It was 12 pitches. It was four outs. He was not going to go more than two innings. They weren't going to allow him to do that. I know what you're talking about with all the questions about Corbin Burns. Craig squashed that after game three. He said it's not going to be Corbin Burnes in game four. We talked about that more before game four. Corbin was interested in doing it, but the way that he physically recovered after game one, it was not physically possible for him to do it. And I asked Craig even further, would you even consider using him out of the bullpen? And Craig said no. So if the player and the manager are telling you he's not physically able to do it, that's the end of the conversation. And so, you know, rookie Aaron Ashby, he's put in a tough spot. Hunter Strickland, that's the role he's been in all season long. He's kind of been that closer to the starter. And he's been excellent in that role. And then the Josh Hader, Freddie Freeman matchup, that you take that 9 times out of 10. You know, I mean, Freddie did something that we haven't seen. You know, it was the first homer that Hader had given up on a first pitch slider. It was the first homer he'd given up to a lefty all year. And Freeman became the first left-handed hitter to hit 2 home runs off a Hader in his career. So that's just baseball. You know, that was just a mistake. There's a lot of decisions you have to make in an elimination game like that. And I think, you know, you just ultimately have to live with the outcomes of them.
Sophia, you said that this is their window right now.
Mm-hmm.
But with that being said, do they have to spend more money? I mean, I'll read you some of the salaries or the payrolls of some of the playoff teams. Dodgers, $267 million. Yankees, $203 Mets, $199 Houston, $194 Now, Tampa Bay is the anomaly.
Did you do your own research?
I just Googled it. I mean, the Brewers are at 97.4, but that's a far cry from some of the teams I read. If this is their window, do they have to spend more money?
I don't know. I can't speak to that. They're going to have to determine that with, you know, free agents that they pursue. I mean, the other thing is, you know, with arbitration, some of these players' salaries are going to go up, right? Players like Josh Hader and Brandon Woodruff, and I don't think Corbin is arbitration eligible yet, but the prices on these players that are in your core, right, that are a huge pieces for your window to contend and to realistically win a World Series, the prices on them are going to go up year to year. I don't know in terms of flashy spending in the off season what that's going to look like for the Brewers. I can tell you it's not going to be what the Dodgers number is. That's just not realistic for this market. But the owner, Mark Adonasio, and his ownership group, they are as motivated as anybody to contend and to win. Mark has always, you know, put up the money when it comes to winning. You know, I think you saw that with Christian's deal. I think you saw that with going out and getting Colton Wong in the offseason, Lorenzo Cain. You know, at the time, that was the biggest deal that they had given a free agent. That was 5 years, $80 million. That's going to be his final year next year. So Mark has proven he will spend the money. So we'll see kind of how this will, you know, how it goes this offseason.
Sophia, we've had a great season with you. Thank you so much for all of your insight. Thanks for your jokes. Thanks for your reaction to some of our insanity. We appreciate you playing along.
Yeah, really, just thanks for putting up with us every Wednesday.
I recognize that it's a toxic environment that you're putting yourself in, Sophia. So we appreciate you kind of jeopardizing your own health and well-being in order to hang out with us.
And career. Certain restrictions apply.
Thank you, guys. It's been a really fun show. I've enjoyed it every week.
Thanks, Sophia. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right.
Dude, just coming out with the disclaimer.
I don't know what that means.
Certain restrictions apply.
See store for details.
So see showroom for details. That's what he was doing. He was doing his Pella read. Speaking of reads, guys, have you guys been out to the cafe? To the corners of Brookfield recently? I mentioned the cafe because they've got a Cafe Hollander out there, which is a fantastic spot to grab brunch or lunch. And they also do rooftop yoga on Thursday mornings at 8:30 until 9:30. And afterwards, they give you a complimentary beer mosa. So if you didn't need to get out for rooftop yoga, you can get out there for the free beer mosa. You guys know that I love the corners of Brookfield. It's where I get a lot of my outfits for college game day. It's one of the best shopping spots in all of southeastern Wisconsin. Of course, they've got improv. I know Chewy went out to Silver Spot last week and caught the new Bond film. So many things going on at the corners of Brookfield. And remember, it's dog friendly. So if you're headed out to do some errands and you're thinking, oh, I have to leave Fido at home again, not the case at the corners of Brookfield. You can throw Fido in the car. You can take him and let him tag along on all of your errands. One of the few Wisconsin shopping centers where you can bring your pup. Okay, now you're saying, where can I get more information on the corners of Brookfield? It's very easy. Just go to their website, thecornersofbrookfield.com, thecornersofbrookfield.com.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
In this instance.
You took my damn spot.
So if he's there today, will there be a throwdown confrontation?
Oh, you know me. No, there's not going to happen. Nothing's going to happen.
Do you want me to come home with you so there can be a throwdown confrontation?
Yeah, actually, can you? If you could fight my battles, I'd really appreciate that.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
Oh, so good. Thank you to Sophia Minnette for everything she did for us all season long, keeping us up to date on your Milwaukee Brewers. And listen, guys, if you're in the market for brand new windows, I know there are a lot of options out there, but Universal Windows Direct Windows will not only save you money and come with a true lifetime warranty, you're not going to find a better window out there, okay? They showed me this space saver that they put between the panes, right? It's a polymer made by NASA. NASA! Okay, it's in their windows. They build the weather stripping into the window frame so it can't come off. It is everywhere that vinyl meets vinyl. What does that mean? Everywhere that vinyl touches vinyl, there's window weather stripping in there. These are all reasons why Universal Windows Direct Windows say they've got the best product on the market for your buck. So if you're in the market for new windows, Universal Windows Direct Windows should absolutely be the folks that you check out. We have been asking you all morning long for your one word to describe the Milwaukee Brewers season. Look, the season was fun. It was a fun season. Mm-hmm. Okay? They win a boatload of games. They lead the division. Nobody even comes close. Cardinals try to make this charge at the end of the year where they're winning back to back to back to back. We don't have enough time to go through that. And they still can't catch the Brewers. It was fun. But man, it always feels like this is how things end here in Wisconsin. Just like disappointing. So close. Sigh. Hitless. Apropos, some of the other words we heard. Classic coming in. Successful, though, from our friend John, who says 4 straight years in the playoffs. The season didn't have the ending we wanted, but the potential and the core and the coaching and the management is there. They do a wonderful job of getting the most out of these players, and they seem to have fun every day.
Gabe, was this team better than the team that played the Dodgers in the NLCS?
I'm going to say no.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I don't think it was. Just because that offense, again, you had Christian Yelich, you know, at the height of his powers. You still had Ryan Braun on that team. Like, there were guys that could do damage throughout that lineup. And while their pitching was unconventional, it certainly worked for them. I mean, Wade Miley was really good that year. You had Brandon Woodruff in short bursts doing some things. Josh Hader's still on that team. So I think that 18 team was, again, they won more regular season games, 96. And they made it to Game 7 of the NLCS.
Do we need to start devaluing pitching? Is it better to have hitters in a very, very strong lineup than solid pitching, much like the NFL where the offense is now the thing and defense is kind of a little bit of an afterthought?
I think it's harder to do that for a team like the Brewers because it's easier to spend money to go out and get hitters than it is to do what the Brewers have done, which is build up a pitching staff through either smaller trades or through within their farm system.
Isn't that what they say, though? Don't they say to spend money on your offense and build your pitching through the draft?
I mean, isn't that
the way that a lot of people say is a recipe for success? D. Rich weighing in saying, unfulfilled. The team had such a great foundation to make a deep postseason run. Three dominant starting pitchers and elite closer just could not get enough offense. 2 runs in game 1, 0 runs in game 2 and 3. Final got 4 runs in game 4, but it just wasn't enough. 6 runs in the series, just not enough. No. Disappointed coming in. I was trying to click down on the computer. I clicked off the microphone in a big shocking development. Failure. Kind of explains how Jen runs the show.
The function of the show after a year. Louise. Just makes me love
pointless.
It even more.
Somebody sent us a picture from Jurassic Park of just the giant pile of dinosaur doo-doo. They get the show. Jay gets the show. So lots of a reaction to what people are saying about the Milwaukee Brewers this morning as the season ends unceremoniously last night. And look, I'm going to go back to this, guys. Right? You're in the game. Right? It's 2-0, 2-2, 4-2, 4-4. And then Freddie Freeman comes in off of the one of the best closers in the game in Josh Hader and just knocks it out of the park. Okay? Bottom of the eighth, right? Brewers had opportunities. You mentioned, Gabe, how bad they've been with runners in scoring position. You had guys on base. You had a guy on base. Bottom of the ninth. And then their guy goes out there and does his job. So it does feel a little bit like, and I'm going to say this, you got to tip your cap to the Atlanta Braves. Mm-hmm. They put together a really good team. They put together a really good at-bat, especially in that clutch and critical situation. And you kind of go, what are you going to do? Freddie frickin' Freeman.
Real quick, did you agree with the bunt by Wong?
I think he was trying
That's not quick.
Well, he popped it up, right?
Yeah, he popped it up. I think he was trying to bunt for a base hit. I don't mind playing for the one run in that situation.
Okay.
Any other topics you want to bring up in the last 30 seconds of the show?
I'm going home.
Thanks for listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. It is all back to the pack tomorrow. Wildy and Tausch is next on ESPN Wisconsin. Maybe we'll see you then.